James chapter number 4. But on a Sunday about 2 weeks ago, I shared a service on excellence. You remember that? And we're going to, and really, it was, I kept saying, this is a pastoral service. And there was some things that the Lord was putting in my heart about that subject. And I went to bed last night, I guess it was, right before my family called. And I was just praying a little bit. And it came up in my heart, there's three other things he wants me to minister on that are not about excellence, but three other legs under the stool of success. Okay. Amen. And so excellence, he said, was only the first one. He said, there's three others, and he gave me the three others. Yes, and so we're going to get into one of them tonight. Remember, we were talking about in the Old Testament, Daniel was a man of excellence, and the Bible said he was promoted. You remember? Yes, remember, he was prospered. He was promoted. Can anybody remember what those were? Yes. Prospered, promoted, protected, preferred. Yep. So that promotion was kind of the emphasis, how that he was promoted because of that. His excellence, and he stood out. Remember, we said it's easy to stand out in our culture by just being an excellent person, you know, being on time, being right, doing things that are right. Amen. Somebody told me the other day that they every job they've had, they've gotten promoted because they, whenever, you know, something comes a lull in the company or something and people just don't have a lot to do right at the moment, he said he'd pick up a broom and start sweeping the floor. And everybody sort of looked at him like, you don't have to do that. Amen. He said, I always got promoted.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So, but see, that's an excellent spirit. That's beyond and above ordinary. Yeah. And that's what excellence is. Yeah. And so promotion is the result of that. Now, another one the Lord gave me last night, and that we're here in James. You turned to it, but I didn't. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. You might say, I'm not that interested in promotion. Well, why not? Why not? You ought to be. The Bible said we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. And that's just the way the things of God are. The Lord shall increase you more and more. The Bible said the God of calls God the God of increase. The Bible talks about increasing with the increase of God. Now that's not only financial. When I say increase, I'm not just thinking financial. I'm talking about influence in promotion, increasing in influence, in a higher rank in the company, a higher ranking in society, more influential in society. God wants Christians to have the say and be the ones who determine direction of things rather than the ones that are following the direction of the wicked. We're to be the influencers in business and, of course, spiritual things, but business and in our home life, in our families, in our cities, in finances and all these things, politics. We ought to be the influencers. And God really, this verse says this, I'll just read this verse, James chapter number 4. I think a lot of Christians don't see this right. They don't see increase or promotion correctly. They don't see it as that important. But let's look at something. James 4. Would you look at it with me? James 4, 6. God gives, he is God. God gives more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Say that last statement. He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Now, I'll just say this before we go any further. You might want to think a little bit about what grace is before we go any further. He gives grace to the humble. Grace, Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace to help in time of need. Grace is God's help. Yes.
Amen.
It's his help. Yeah. If you study this, the term grace, which a lot of people are talking about it today, and some of them don't really know what they're talking about. I said some, not all. I'm just saying some of the things are extreme today. But if you look up the word grace, of course, we use the acronym God's riches at Christ's expense. But if you look up the word grace, there's much more revelation than just that. It is literally, there are three kinds of grace. There's serving grace, there's standing grace, and there's saving grace. So maybe you could put the saving one first. Saving grace, serving grace, and standing grace. You cannot save yourself. Amen. But with what God did, you can get saved. Somebody say we get saved by faith. No, we don't. We get saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith. In other words, because of his graciousness, because of what he did for us, we can tap into it by faith. And because of him, we can be saved. We can be born again. Faith lays hold of that. But without him and his grace, you and I couldn't be saved. Then we say there's serving grace, and you can see Paul talking about that a lot. And he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he said things like, he said that he who was abundant in Peter toward the apostleship of the Jews was abundant in me toward the apostleship of the Gentiles. And he said, and if you look in that, I'm quoting Galatians chapter number 2. If you look in that context, he then also refers to it as grace. There was anointing on him or grace on him. That means ability. Ability on him to do something and make him something and enable him to do something that he could not do on his own. Ministers aren't ministers because they decided to be a minister. They're minister because there's something came on them to give them ability to do what they do. Amen. When people are healed, under any minister's life, including our lives, don't look at us. We can't do that. It's him anointing us, giving us the ability, and that anointing flowing through us is what does it. And without that, we can't heal, like Brother Hagin always said, we can't heal a fly's eyeball. That means something little, something small. We can't heal a gnat's wing, somebody said. But when the anointing's on you, and they receive that anointing, woo, praise God. So there are graces, and that just means help or ability. So then there's standing grace. We stand by grace. Are we saved? The Bible talks about by the grace of God, we are what we are. It's talking about in serving and ministry. You know, I marvel at the gifts of God in other people. I'm not oblivious to what's in us, but I'm just saying, I just love watching God do things through people. That it's like, man, I'm not like that. I can't do that. But look at God. It's wonderful. Aren't you glad we're not all the same? Aren't all cookie cutters? Each of us has something from God, and we bring it to the body of Christ, bring it to the work of God, and everything gets done. I don't have to be you. You don't have to be me. We're not in competition with one another. Amen. But then there's standing grace, and we won't take a lot of time to get into that, but the Bible talks about standing by faith, but it also talks about standing in his grace. There's help to stand. You know as well as I do that sometimes we'd have given up. If it hadn't have been for God moving on somebody to come encourage us, come speak a word in season, a service at church, just the right service at the right time. That's help. Yeah, we're using our faith to tap into it, but we're tapping into the help of God to stand. But that's a whole nother subject. But the best way I like to say it is his help. We come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help. Grace is his help. It's his ability, yes. It's his help, yes. It's his goodness towards us, yes. All those things. But when it says here, look at verse 6 again. This is James 4, 6. He gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. He gives help to the humble. Look at verse number 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God is interested in us being lifted up. Oh, no, I don't want to be proud. Wait a minute. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what being in a high place in life, whether it's a high place financially, whether it's a high place of influence, influencing large portions of the body of Christ or major influence in the nation or something like that.
Yeah.
Those are things God is interested in doing for us. I said he's interested in doing that for us. He's interested. He calls it here being lifted up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. But notice in both verses this, the word humility or humble is used. Isn't that right? Verse 6, he gives grace or more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. Okay, put those two verses together and learn something. It's grace that lifts us up. Are you in the right? Are you paying attention tonight?
Yes, sir.
The grace of God on us, enabling us to do something we could not do before.
Yes, come on.
To see something we didn't see before. To hear something we didn't hear before. Is what is the way, and to be able to understand it and therefore walk in it in a new way, in a new place, is what God does in order to take us to another level of anything that he wants us to be lifted up in. You understand what I'm talking about? When I say lifted up, I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about him doing it. And notice that it's grace that does it, but notice who gets the grace. Or let's put it this way. Somebody said, well, we all have the grace of God. Well, notice verse 6. Look at it again. For he giveth, what's the next word?
More.
Yeah, all of us have saving grace, but there's more than saving grace. I said, there's more. See, some of you just got something. There's more. There's more help. There's more revelation. There's more God showing you something or revealing something to you that is available beyond what you got when you got saved. This comes to humble people. Well, then we ought to really be interested in humility. God's interested in it. God's interested in lifting us up. Am I making any sense? Now it says in the book of Psalms, it says that God is. I'm looking for my references here. For some reason, they disappeared. It says that Psalm 75, I believe, it talks about God being the one who exalts and promotes. He said, you know, promotion comes not from the north or south, but promotion comes from the Lord. Yeah. Promotion comes not from the north or south, but promotion comes from the Lord.
Yes.
Say it comes from the Lord.
Yes.
So there, God is interested in promotion.
Yes.
Remember God promoted Daniel?
Yes.
He promoted him. Yes. Does God want to do that for you?
Yes.
Do you have any verses on it? Yeah, we just quoted Psalm 75. I don't remember the reference, but we quoted, verse 6. Thank you. We got some Bible scholars here tonight. And we just quoted James 4. Humble yourself in the mighty hand, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. How about one more? 1 Peter 5. I said, he wants to lift us up. That's not pride. Let's look at it. Let's study it a little bit tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I brought my Bible that's falling apart. It's coming off the here. I have to hold it together. 1 Peter 5. Look at verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then he said in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, no, I don't want to be lifted up, Pastor. Don't lift yourself up, but God wants to lift you up. I said, he wants to lift you up. He wants to exalt you. He wants to take you to a higher place. Amen. Amen. Am I preaching all right?
Yes, sir.
He wants to take you to a higher place. Say a higher place.
A higher place.
So what does a higher place look like? What about, I don't know if you've ever studied this subject, increasing or lifting us, or God lifting people up. But that can happen in several different ways. The Bible said, he lifteth the poor out of the dust and the needy out of the dunghill to set him with princes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Notice that term, he lifteth.
Yeah.
Lifts.
Yeah.
In other words, poverty's low.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't get mad now because I got on it again.
Okay.
Poverty's low. God wants to lift his people. Actually, he's already provided for this. But what I'm saying is, he wants his people to have this more grace.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you what that is. It's the ability to see what you need to see and hear what you need to hear to get into what that grace, the grace that you got in salvation, to get into it. Because when people don't see what they need to see and hear what they need to hear, they can't enter into it. And I'll prove that to you in the service tonight. There's a real connection between humility and being able to see what you need to see, hear what you need to hear, and therefore get into some things you have not been able to get into. Huge connection. I said huge connection. So, but this more grace comes to the humble. Say, it comes to the humble. And so, if you read the scriptures very carefully, the Bible says in a couple different places that God resists the proud. We just read a couple of them. He resists the proud. Pride has a built-in God blocker.
Yeah, come on.
The Bible said God dwells in the high and holy place with him that is of a humble and contrite spirit. In other words, humility brings people up to exist on a higher level of finances, blessings, positions. God does not promote pride. He promotes humility. You might say, well, we better know what pride is then. Yeah, we'll get some time. Hopefully we'll get into that. My goodness, we're going too slow here to get to that maybe. But so we need to understand that God has a plan. Our lives should be increasing and going higher and higher all the time. And the key to it is more revelation. And walking in it, of course. Can you say amen? The Bible says over in Proverbs 6 that God hates pride. It lists six things that God hates, and the very first one is a proud look. Amen. And so James 4, 6 and 10 tell us who gets this help, this grace. It's those that are humble. Now, if you want to get into more, there are tests to pass. I'm talking about things like faithful in that which is least kind of test. Remember the Bible said that in Luke 16? He that's faithful in that which is least, faithful also in much. So there's faithful in what you have to be faithful with right now. You know, if you aren't faithful on the job position you have, why would your boss promote you? Isn't that right? If you're not faithful with the helps minister position you have in church right now, why would we put you in leadership? If where you are is not important and you have and you're just always thinking about, well, when I get to so-and-so, when I get to a certain place, you're not being faithful with what you have to be faithful right now. Just be faithful with what you have, and God will see to it that you're promoted. He said so. His word is on the line.
Yes, sir.
His word is on the line.
Amen.
Amen. So when he says here that he lifts up the humble, that's one of the tests, you might say. That's one of the places that we've got to pass a test in order to get into some greater things. Am I making any sense? One of those tests is a humility test. So he wants us to be promoted in the things of life. He wants us to have more revelation. He wants us to know God better. He wants us to walk in a higher place of faith. He wants us to walk in more finances. He wants us to walk in better, more influence in our lives. He doesn't want obscure his people to be obscure people. No influence, no voice, nobody pays attention to them. You ever read or seen some TV programs, The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous or something like that? You should watch those kind of things and say, God wants me to have those things in holiness. Not doing it the world's way, but in holiness, having so much and so much influence that people listen to what I have to say. Now, there's more to it than just having money. There's integrity. Integrity makes people trust you and will cause people to look to you and let you have a voice into their lives. Amen. So I'm not talking about the carnal fame kind of thing that the world seeks after, but I am talking about being influential and having the funds to have that makes people listen. Something about this world system that people don't listen unless you're influential and you got money. Amen. And God wants us to be in those places. Not in an unholy way. You got to understand the way I'm saying that. But in a holy way, with integrity, all the while putting God first, always giving Him the glory for it, and not saying, well, you know, I. And see, there's the pride that's going to be before a downfall. Giving Him the glory. One of the characteristics of pride is in it cannot praise others, including God. When somebody's impressed with something, our response ought to always be, you know, God is so good. Can I tell you the story? Can I tell you the testimony, how that happened? And just start giving Him all the glory and all the praise. That's a humble person right there. They know, I didn't do this. Grace did it. Grace, tapping into grace by faith, did it. But see, faith stays humble in that, you know, acknowledgement of God. Whenever we give testimonies, I've had the Lord deal with me about this. We give testimonies. The Lord spoke to me one time. He said, people aren't hearing your testimonies right. Well, the way I heard that was, I'm not saying it right. I'm not properly emphasizing that it was the Lord that did it. I was emphasizing my faith and so forth and so on, and we know that has a place. You understand? But see, if we recognize Him and give Him the glory and just say, man, His word is faithful. When we trust in His word was faithful. He is such a faithful God. And just giving Him all the glory. Yes, we explain to people about faith and trust in Him. But really, without the grace, there's no faith. There's nothing for faith to tap into. Amen. And so, praise the Lord. That's just something that the Lord has shared with me. And that we want to continually say things right to where He gets the glory. How many of you know the Bible said when the Holy Spirit has come, Jesus said this, He'll glorify me. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. And when we're yielding to the Spirit in our testimony, we're going to say, you know, the Lord is so good. There was a worker in the home, the wonderful home God's blessed us with. The worker in there yesterday, and I was just telling him, we really appreciate the job you did and so forth and so on. Somebody that's, I don't even know if he's a Christian, but didn't matter to me. And he said, well, thank you. I said, well, we'll recommend you because my wife and I were talking. You did a great job and so forth. So I was just telling him all that. And he said, I really like your home. And I said, you know what? This is the blessing of the Lord. Amen. I didn't wait to say, are you a Christian? I didn't. I just said, I want you to know this is a blessing of the Lord. The Lord did this. And I didn't take a lot of time to explain everything, but because I could tell he's like, oh, okay, you know, but you know how people are. But right on the other hand, I didn't say anything about me. I said something about the one that did it. Because I want him to get turned on to God. I want him to go home, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Come on, amen. So that's humility. But pride can't praise other people, including God. Pride gets irked whenever somebody else gets credit. And nobody said anything about us. Or it was mentioned that it happened. Somebody did this to the church. Somebody did this in the church. Somebody blessed the church or whatever. But the your name wasn't attached to it. You know, what is it that makes us go, well, why didn't they say my name? You know, what's the point? Why does your name have to be mentioned? Well, I want people to know what I did. Oh, I. Oh, it's about you? No. It's about what the Lord did through you. And if it wouldn't have been us, it would have been somebody else. You know, so it's all him. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and try it on your own. I mean, did anybody ever try that? Oh, glory. Well, that's all free. Say humility. Let's talk about what humility is a little bit. Would that be all right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you know he wants to do things in your life in such a way that everybody just has to go, glory to God. Where we can't even put our thumbs under our lapels and say, you know, I used my head and I was smart and I... You know that stinks. Somebody said, pride's the only disease that makes everybody else sick except the person that has it. When people start going, I, everybody else is going, oh. Well, praise the Lord. All right, so humility is not condemning yourself. It's not beating yourself down. It's not thinking lowly of yourself. You understand what I'm talking about? It's not putting yourself down. You know, somebody says something about a good job that you did. Why is it that sometimes we've got to go, well, yeah, really, I'm not that good. And, you know, if it was a good job, say, praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
It's not beating yourself up. It's not putting yourself down. It's not condemning yourself or speaking little or small of yourself. Go to Romans chapter number 12, verse 3. This will help us a little bit. Romans 12, 3 says, he gives more grace. Well, excuse me, that's James. Let me get to Romans here. Romans 12. Let me see here. Verse 3. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice this, we are not instructed here to not think highly of ourselves. We're instructed to not think more highly than we ought. How high? Okay, now that begs the question. How highly should we think of ourselves? Now, I'm going to say this, and this will be a great revelation of what humility really is. Whatever is true. Nothing more. Nothing more. If it's true, fine. If it's not, it's pride. Because pride is believing a lie. Pride is speaking a lie. That's why it stinks whenever I did this, I did that. Yeah, and who gave you the brain to think clear thoughts?
Yeah, that's good.
And why is your brain not all messed up and you can think clear thoughts?
Right. Yeah.
Huh? I know we haven't talked about this for a while, but the Lord's dealing with me. This is one of the legs under that four-legged stool to promotion is humility. Hallelujah. It's not putting yourself down. It's not thinking lowly of yourself. Notice he said, I say through the grace given to me, every man among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, soberly, according as God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Listen, soberness means thinking real clear according to what's really true. Where am I in my measure of faith?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Where and what is reality? There's a real kinship between humility and reality. Humility and what's really true. Amen. If it's really true, then it's not pride when somebody says, that was a good job. That's not, if that's true, it's true. You know what I'm talking about? And so, but we don't have to gloat over it. We can just say, well, praise God. God helps us, you know. Acknowledge his involvement and not put ourselves down. Isn't that right? So if that's true, then pride is thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Now, how highly of ourselves should we think? You remember Philemon chapter number 6 says, if you ever read Philemon 6, it says, the communication of our faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. It's not wrong to acknowledge the good things in you by Christ, because of Christ. There are good things in each one of you, each one of us. Everybody that's born again has a deposit of God living in them, and there's something of God in them that is powerful, wonderful, marvelous. It's not of ourselves. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural ability. We've gotten to know a pastor's son out in California that has become, he's only 26 years old, I forget how, somewhere, not he might be 30, but if he's 30, he's not much over 30, has become already a world famous painter. Beautiful. Has won awards that people have been painting for decades have not gotten. And just gorgeous. And the other day we were sitting with Pastor Nancy and fellowshipping, and he brought out a painting he had done for her of Brother Hagin. And it's like a photograph. I mean, you know, you can tell it's a painting. It's not intended to be just like a photograph, but you understand. It's perfect. And she asked him, how long did it take you to do that? And he said, he looked and he said, oh, 2.5 hours. I had to stuff it back in my mouth because it flew out. That's not fair. I went, shut up. I got things in me that he doesn't have. I rejoice with him.
Amen.
He's got paintings. And just gorgeous. It's amazing. It's a gift. It's a talent. And he's serving God with it. He's a good Christian man. Loves God. Goes anyway. But that kind of deposit of God, not maybe not that kind, but some other kind of deposit from God is in each one of us.
Amen.
And can make us millionaires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, how many of you would like to take 2.5 hours, paint a painting? Now, that one's not, that was just for private. But some of the other ones that have won these awards, you know, $30,000, $2.5 hours. Shucks. Now, don't think like I said. I came out of my mouth. I had to judge myself. I said, no, that's not right. That's not right. I said, that's not fair. Don't think that way.
Exactly.
Don't think that way. There's something in you like that.
Right.
There's graces in you like that.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I mean, it might be a different kind, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And that'll take you to the top.
Yes. Amen.
Woo, glory. Yes. I said it'll take you to the top. Take you to the top. Praise God. I heard our president say something the other day about a man in politics. He said something about, and our president has a nose that can sniff people out that are good at things. And he said, that man right there, he pointed him out. He said, that man has a knack for politics, and he hired him and brought him on. And the man's been blowing people away with creative ideas he's got.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you, there's graces in each one of our lives.
Amen.
But the thing that we're seeing tonight about all this is that none of these things should exalt us in pride.
Yeah.
But they should exalt us in going to a higher place of influence, finances, amen, being a blessing. Hallelujah. I heard a testimony the other day, it was a few weeks ago, that somebody went within 2 years, went from having nothing to giving a ministry an airplane. They had so much finances because of business. That's called being exalted. That's called being lifted up. You know those people. You can see whenever you watch them, you say, look at that. Look, and you just know it's not them. But that's available to all of us. Can you say amen? I said, that's available to all of us. I said, that's available to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's find out what it is and let's tap into it. What do you say? Humility is not beating ourselves down. It's not condemning ourselves or thinking lowly of ourselves. It's putting ourselves down. It is actually, humility is just staying real close to the truth. I said, stand real close to the truth. Say, stay close to the truth. Another thing humility is it is being teachable. The Bible talks about meekness. I don't know what happened to my mic here. It acts weird now. The Bible talks about meekness. And if you read, like Jesus is meek and lowly in heart. You ever read that? And meekness is, we're taught to be meek. And there's a real kinship between humility and meekness. And meekness means teachableness. Meekness, the Bible says about, I don't remember the reference. I believe it's Numbers 12:3. I'd have to look it up again. I could be wrong about that. But the Bible talks about Moses was the meekest man that lived on the earth at that time. And he was also, the Bible doesn't say this, but you can read the Bible and see it. He was also the most used man of his generation. And actually one of the most used men in history. And do you think there's any connection between Moses being meek and Moses being used? Such anointing on him. Such favor on him. Such power on him. Such God backing him up. When other people criticized him, God comes down in a pillar of fire and said, you too, come out here. What'd you say? Against my servant Moses? Whoa. Whoa, that's God backing you up. Somebody said, I want God to back me up. It's in humility. It's in meekness. It's in teachableness. Amen. If you and I study this subject very carefully, it ought to be something we actually pursue big time. It ought not be on the back burner, not something we never think about. One thing about humility is it can be taught. It can be directed. Humility allows those that God sends into their lives to speak into their lives. Because God does speak into our lives, and he does use other people sometimes. I said sometimes he uses other people. Can you say amen? Humility is staying in a place you're not promoting yourself. You're trusting God to do it. And if you know anything or have ever experienced God promoting you, which I believe everyone here to a degree has, you will almost cuss every other kind of promotion. It will repel you. You will repel it. You're like, I don't want that. I don't want the world stuff. Because God's promotion is so superior, so much better, that you don't want anything else. If God doesn't do it, I don't want it. Whoa. Because the other kind can be taken out from under you. If a man can lift you up, a man can knock you down. But if God lifts you up, like he did Moses, and Moses stayed humble before God and always gave God the credit and acknowledged. He only spoke what God told him to say. He didn't say his own thing or his own plans or anything. He just stayed humble about it. God backed him. When people opposed him, the power of God in a fiery pillar showed up to back him up and say, okay, what did you have to say? Say it to me. God said, say it to me.
Yeah, that's good.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's good.
How many of you know that'll keep you in the place God puts you? In other words, you won't lose the promotion because God himself put you there and he'll back you up. Can you say amen? So you're not promoting yourself. You let God promote you, and that way that it'll be secure. It'll stay in place. Is that right? Another thing that humility does is it doesn't argue with correction when it comes. It doesn't get angry. You know, pride does, though. It gets angry and offended. Because correction has a way of pointing out that we're not perfect. And we're not. I'm talking about in the flesh. Our minds are still being renewed. Maybe we are a perfect heart. But our minds are still being renewed. And there's things we don't think right about. And correction is not there to beat us down. Correction is there to adjust our thinking. You know. And whenever that comes, the nature of the flesh, which is pride, wants to resist that because I look bad. Your point is, what is your point? Amen? But the flesh doesn't like to look bad, especially in front of other people. I don't think we ought to just embarrass people on purpose, but hey, if you're going to do it in front of other people, then you can receive correction in front of other people. Amen. Pride doesn't argue with correction when it comes. Doesn't get angry. Amen. It doesn't get offended. Humility does. Humility stays teachable. Amen. But pride can't be taught anything. I've learned this, that if I stay teachable, I stay reachable. If I can hear what God's saying, even through other people, and heaven forbid, even through my wife. I say that humorously. No, God uses my wife. God uses your wife, guys. Amen. Ladies, he uses your husbands. That doesn't mean we should just be, you know, henpecking each other or picking on or pointing out everybody's faults or anything like that. But there are times God will speak up through our spouses in order to save us from a hardship, you know, something that we're going to mess up, you know. And humility just stays teachable and doesn't assume that I know everything or that I'm right about everything and that I'm perfect or that my ideas are always better. Well, amen. I said amen. If I'm teachable, I'm reachable. And listen, God needs to be able to reach all of us and get some things through and cross to all of us. And so we're going to have to stay teachable. That means whenever our flesh says, you don't have to take that, and wants to rile up, that is the very thing that's keeping us from promotion. It's the very thing that's hindering our being lifted up into another level. Can you say amen? Everybody still happy? Glad you came? Praise God. Say, if I'm teachable, I'm reachable. Hallelujah. So it literally means, humility literally means to lay low. Now, what does that mean to lay low? If you look it up, it just means to lay low. It means close to the truth. It doesn't mean to beat low. It means just to stay real close to the truth. What is the truth? If I'm spoken to in correction, I endeavor, and I'm learning to do this more and more, just take all my emotions out of it and look at it objectively, as if I stepped outside of myself to look at myself objectively. Is that true? And if it is, it is. And I just say, you're right. Well, I mean, doesn't that make you feel like you're of course. I'm a man. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I'm the big kahuna around here, you know? Yeah. There are, listen, you might think this is wrong, but you just got to hear it in the way it's said. And there are times I've said to the staff, I've said, what do you all think about it? Now, not because, you understand, I'm not talking about vision. I'm not talking about direction for the church. I'm just talking about an idea of how to do something. And I had thoughts and certain things, but some of them have said things sometimes that was even better, and I had a witness that was a better idea than what I had. And I said, you know what? We're going to go with that. Does that make me less than? No. Does that make I'm not the pastor, I'm not the leader? No. It just makes me smart. If somebody else got a better idea than me, then. You know, Henry Ford said one of the reasons he was so successful was he surrounded himself with people that knew things in areas he didn't know anything about. Now, that could be taken wrong. You understand, people could assume, well, you know, then that means I can always tell pastor what to do. No. That's not what that means. It just means that we shouldn't be dumb and proudful and think that we've got always the best ideas. Maybe somebody has a better idea on how to do the floor or something like that. I mean, good, fine, good. Or a better product we could be using. Great, go buy it. I don't need to know everything. It's pride that has to have, it's always your idea. I joke with people sometimes. I say, you know, I'm glad, because they came up with a good idea. I say, I'm glad I gave you that good idea. They said, yeah, me too. I mean, I'm just joking because I just like to have fun. But I'm really thankful for their idea.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody learning anything tonight?
Yes.
We could talk about pride, and of course, the main thing we're interested in is humility, for a long time. But it means to lay low, close to the truth. The closer to truth you are, the humbler you are. If the truth was they had a better idea, and you acknowledge it, you're staying humble. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. It takes humility takes a real sane estimate of one's own value, ability, importance, and anointing. It takes a real sane. Remember he said here, don't think more highly than you ought, but think soberly. Humility is real sober. Pride is just, it's sort of out of its head. It's dumb. Isn't it? You've been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean. Oh, listen, that wasn't smart to say that way. I am so sorry. I didn't mean it that way. I mean, you've seen some dumb things.
Yes.
Right?
And I've still been around long.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I said that respectfully in my heart. That's what I meant. My elders that are mature, that's... Praise the Lord. It's true. That's right. It's true that you're cute. That's what you just said. You're cute. So that's true. But where was I before you distracted me? You seeing dumb things. You know why we should respect our elders? It's because a lot of times they have more wisdom.
Yes.
And it's the young people that can't hear what their elders are saying. It's pride. And that's dumb. Let's just say it like it is. It's dumb. Praise the Lord. Say, if I'm teachable, I'm reachable. Closer to truth than I am, the humbler I am. Amen. Are we humble? We're not proud of it, are we? I can tell we ought to spend some more time on this subject because we're not getting through 10% of what I plan to say. Let me tell you something it's not. It is not, because you hear people say things sometimes, it's like, ugh, it's such deception. It is not being poor. The Bible in 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. So what does that say? Having things could make a person high-minded. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't warn us against that kind of thing. Isn't that right? But if being poor is being humble, then being rich would be pride. But he said, tell those that have things in this world not to be proud. Now, is God asking somebody to do something that's impossible? No. So you can have money and not be proud. You can have things and not be proud. I've talked to people, and I've heard people talk like this. They've said, you know, all these rich people, they're all so snobbish and everything. I've met some people that you would never know. I don't mean by the way they dress. I don't mean that. But I mean just how they relate to people. And people love that, to be honest. That's one of the things that's in there. I'm not trying to push up President Trump tonight, but it just comes to my mind. One of the things that people love about President Trump, multi-billionaire, and yet when people are working on his buildings, he's down there getting them sandwiches from McDonald's and saying, sure, appreciate you. He's counting them as their, as his friend and his brother. People love that. But you get a rich man that's all snobbish and lives in some ivory tower and looks out over the edge at these poor peons down there working for me, you know. They hate him. Isn't that right? They hate that. But see, it's not about the money. It's about the heart condition. Pride is a heart condition, not a financial condition. Can you say amen? I'm quickly running out of time. I'm having a good time. I'm just kind of sharing out of my heart as it comes to me. So so it doesn't mean to be poor. And there's also like Deuteronomy 8:18. It talks about God gives us power to get wealth that he might establish his covenant. Remember that? Yes. Power to get wealth. It's he that gives thee power to get wealth. And then he said, right after that, he said, when this happens, don't forget that it was the Lord that did it. In other words, don't get into pride and think, I did this. He said, when it comes, you always acknowledge me and acknowledge I did this. That's you know, when we've shared testimony sometimes, usually once a year or something, we'll say, here's how you give a testimony. You don't draw attention to yourself. You give attention to the one who's enabling you and who's faithful whenever you trust him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let me give you some indicators here. Well, okay, let's go to Psalm 34. Let's wrap this up as quick as we can here. Just a couple of verses. Humility is a huge key to receiving from God. It's a huge key for receiving. I don't know that we've emphasized it properly in our services here. But faith, we know, is a huge key to receiving from God, but humility is a huge key to receiving from God. And I'll tell you why. Because it's humility that even sees how to receive. It's humility. Only humble people can see how God does things and can cooperate with God in it. You know, did you find Psalm 34? I want you to notice a pattern of some scriptures. Let me just read some different scriptures here. Psalm 34, verse number 2, first of all. It says, he's talking about the blessings of the Lord on him. David's talking here. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast, not in myself, but in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In other words, they'll hear of what God's doing for me and rejoice. But I want you to notice that the humble can hear it. Humble, it's the humble that can hear it. Look at Psalm 69, 32. We'll just go through some of these quickly. Psalm 69, 32. It says in verse 32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Humility can hear things that other people can't hear. Take correction. You know, whom the Lord loves, he corrects. He's bringing things sometimes into our lives in the area of correction in order to save our bacon. Because what we're getting ready to do in misunderstanding or wrong thinking or pride or whatever the reason is going to destroy us. And so he brings a correction to say, no, you know, and he corrects us either through his word or the Holy Spirit in our conscience, or he'll send somebody else to talk to us. It's only pride that can hear that. I'm sorry, it's only humility that can hear that. Pride can't hear that. Pride's like, well, bless God, you know, they think they're smarter than me. And we go on our own proud way. and right off into the very destruction, because a haughty spirit goes before a fall. Isn't that right? And people say, well, I wonder why our faith didn't work. It was a humility issue. Can you say amen? I want you to go to Matthew 18 before we close up here. Matthew, we're not too far away from closing. Matthew 18, let's read verses 1 through 4 here. The same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever therefore shall humble himself. So when he says be converted as a little child, what's he talking about? Is he talking about being simple-minded? No. Is he talking about going back to where we don't understand anything? No. He's talking about the humility of a child, the sincerity of a child, the purity of a child. And he mentions the humility. Whosoever therefore, verse 4, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to notice humility is what he's talking about. But notice verse 3. I say unto you, except you be converted, become and be humble, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, there's things that pride can't enter into. There's things that humility can only enter into. Somebody said we need to believe God and use our faith to enter into things. Yes. But pride can't even do that. Because pride can't even hear what it needs to hear. Am I making any sense? I believe I am. Luke 10:21, Jesus, it said, rejoiced in that hour in spirit and said, I thank you, Father. You've hid these things from the wise and prudent. You've revealed them unto babes, for it even so seemed good in your sight. It is good in the eyes of God that it's set up this way in the kingdom of God, that the pride don't get it, but the humble do. Those that have it all figured out, don't need God. I got my way. God's way is not important. It's good the way that God set it up. They don't get his help. Ha, ha, ha. But you and I can humble ourselves and get help that surpasses anybody else's ability and raise us up above anybody who's got any natural ability and trusting in that. And take us way beyond our own abilities. Hallelujah. There's verses in Daniel 5 that talks about pride hardens the heart. Daniel 5, 20 and 22. Obadiah 3 talks about the pride of thy heart has deceived thee. Deception is the result of pride. People that think they don't need help, they're deceived. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 If you look through the Old Testament, there's kings. There's a man came to the prophet Elijah one time for healing named Naaman. You can see stories all through the Old Testament that whenever direction came or correction came, they didn't get glad, they got mad. Anger is an indication of pride. Anger is an indication of pride. Why is it whenever we are spoken to be redirected or corrected or spoken to in order to be told the truth that we need to hear? Why is it that the flesh rises up and wants to reject that? Because we get angry. It's because of pride. Because of pride. Amen? Does that mean everything everybody says is true? No, people say things sometimes that aren't true. But we ought to have a sane assessment of that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the story in Matthew 15 of the Syrophoenician woman that came for her daughter to be delivered from demon possession, really. And she cried out to Jesus, O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible said Jesus didn't even pay attention to her. She came and she humbled herself and said, Lord, help me. Now she's down the genuine cry of her heart not using borrowed phrases, because, oh Lord, son of David was just a Jewish term. That people that weren't Jews, which she was not a Jew, they had no idea what that meant. They didn't even know who the son of David was. They, in fact, who's David? You know what I'm talking about? She heard other people use that. It was just fake, put on, that's the magic phrase, so I'll use it. It wasn't genuine heart cry. It was a, I mean, she had a desire in her heart, but she was trying to, you know, put on a front. It wasn't real. And so Jesus said to her, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. That's harsh. I mean, it can sound harsh to the flesh. It's not Jesus, it wasn't harsh, but it can sound harsh to the flesh. Dogs? You calling us Syrophoenicians dogs? It could have sounded racial. It could have sounded, you know, a man saying that to a woman. You know, people get all upset about some of these things. But that dear lady, bless her heart, she said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Whew, and that's the reason her story is in the book. Her humility enabled her to look at something Jesus said when he said, it's because of you living like you and your culture. Because they did. If you study their culture, their temple worship was full. I'm seeing children here. I won't even say it. You know, perverted parties. It was a mess. No wonder demon activity is getting into people's lives and minds and stuff like that. That opens the door to those things. And he was basically saying, it's the lifestyle you're living that is causing demon activity. She said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. And she said, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Don't take that as your verse. That's not your verse. You're a covenant party, covenant partner. You're a table sitter. You ought to be throwing crumbs to the rest of the world. Healing is the children's bread. Children sit up at the table. Amen. So that's not your verse, but this woman didn't have a covenant with God, and she was outside the covenant, but she said, even those that aren't children in a man's home, like a dog, gets a crumb. And Jesus said, great is your faith. But here's what I wanted you to see as we close. Stand with me to your feet. That'll help me close. Before that great faith was great humility. Did you catch that? Before that great faith. Well, woman, great is your faith? Jesus said great faith, right? Did she have great faith? How'd she get to that place? Here's a lady that doesn't even know God. Great faith. How'd she get to that place? Great humility. Great humility. When the truth was spoken, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Amen. Her humility carried her through the changes that she needed to make before she could receive her healing. And that's exactly what Matthew 13:15 says of my people. If they can hear and their heart's not hardened and their ears are open and be converted, I can heal them. Isn't that right? Is that what he said? And that's what this woman could do. She before she had great faith to receive a great miracle, a deliverance, she had the ability to hear what she needed to hear and say, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So we ought to be very interested in humility, right? Great faith comes out of great humility. People that can just hear what they need to hear and receive it. This just keeps coming up in my heart. I'm trying to close. But let me just give you a couple of things that are indications of pride. Pride does not and cannot follow someone else. It has to be the leader. And pride won't be led. Pride is easily offended. Look at your neighbor and say, well, that's the truth. Pride can't learn anything. It's not teachable. Pride is not submitted. Pride doesn't have good fellowship with others. It has the Lone Ranger mentality. It's pride that keeps some people from being a real part of a local church. Well, there's nobody on my level. I could preach what the pastor's preaching. I might could do a better job. You might could. That might be true. But God didn't put you here. You might have ability. You can run circles around me. I don't know. If it's not true, no, it's not true. But if it is true, so be it. But you haven't qualified. It's not about ability. It's about the call, and it's about qualifying for that call. But see, pride doesn't have good fellowship with others because, you know, I could do what they could do. Pride's unthankful. And that's because it can't express gratitude for what somebody else did, and I didn't do this, somebody else did it. Everybody still happy you came? It's always complaining and pointing out other people's faults because that makes me look better. Amen. Pride is selfish. It's very self-centered. Tell your neighbor, pride is very self-centered. What is humility? It's very centered on others and their blessing. Amen. Pride's full of strife and contention. The Bible says without pride, contention doesn't come. Pride has to have it my way. Well, I sense that the Lord wanted me to share that.